It's about to get Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. It's nothing less, cause you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gabby AF. I know it's been a while since I've had a pretty huge guest, so I had to bring in my friend you all know and love, Mr. Chris Jericho is here to join me for Gabby AF today. Chris, thank you so much for the time.
Congratulations. We were talking about this a year or so ago about you doing your own show, and here you are. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, thank you. And fun fact, Jericho has been one of like my biggest cheerleaders, support systems like with Gabby AF. And I don't think a lot of people know that. So thank you again. Just, I always appreciate you. You've always just given me such good advice and motivation, and you've always been someone in my corner. So I really, really do appreciate you.
Yes, thank you. Congrats. Yeah. Like I said, you've done a great job, and I'm excited to be here. You're so professional now.
I'm like a real pro. This is what you got to do now. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right, but, that's right.
So how are you doing? I know you are in Boston, obviously, for a big business. So, and you're partnering with Hook tonight, which is kind of interesting because I think that's kind of a cool matchup. Talk a little bit about working with him and what we're going to see from that tonight.
Yeah, well, we things got kind of thrown into a loop storyline wise when Kenny got sick.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, you do the best you can when you have to switch midstream. And we kind of did the best we could with the Don Callis story. And then it was time to kind of go into something new. And the idea of working with Hook was something that I'd thought about for a while. And it just kind of really seemed to fit with the match that we had at Revolution with the 8-man scramble, and Hook was in that. And I thought, well, let's do something with this. And you know, the story is just beginning, but I think we got some good ideas and some good stuff going on. Like, that's kind of what my mission in AEW has been since day one, is to do the best I can, elevate the, you know, the younger guys. And, and contrary to popular belief, or which you might see, it usually works. I mean, most of the time when people work with me, they end up on a higher platform than they were prior. If you look at Orange Cassidy to Darby Allin to MJF to, you know, the list goes, Hobbs and Takeshita and all those guys, the list goes on and on and on. You know, even the guys in the Inner Circle and the guys in the Jericho Appreciation Society. I mean, look at Danny Garcia now compared to where he was a year ago. So I think Hook is another guy that we've done a lot with. I think we can do some more with and add some depth to him. And give him a little bit more experience, because you're only as good as the guys that you're in the ring with. And if you look at Hook versus Samoa Joe, I think that's probably the best match he's ever had, because Joe has such experience, you know. And I think with the experience that I have, and then, you know, working with Hook and his persona is so unique, and you know, I think he's lightning in a bottle, something that we can really get to the next level. And that's kind of what my idea is for this story.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too. I'm sure even for your position, you've wrestled Taz before, and now you're stepping in the ring with his son. So like, that's kind of a cool dynamic. I would say for you, is that something like you take into account? It's kind of interesting to step back and take a look at it that way.
Yeah. It's really weird when it happens, like, you know, it's like working with Atlantis Jr., you know, a few weeks ago, and Atlantis is there, and it's like, man, I hadn't seen Atlantis in probably almost 30 years, but worked with him so much when I was, you know, a kid, you know, 22 years old, that sort of thing. And that's how old I was, I think, when I first worked with Taz, 23 or 24,
that's crazy.
You know, and here we are with his son being in there. So I guess that's, I don't know if it's a testament to the longevity of Jericho, but I'm getting to that point now after 33 years on the job where there's a lot of sons in the business of guys that I worked. And I guess it's cool to do that. It's a little bit strange, but it's also like, wow, I guess, like, once again, that's some longevity there to be able to do that and to be doing it with guys that I can help, I think. So it's it's pretty surreal, I think.
I mean, it's a testament to you too. Like, all the, you know, Tom Brady was playing with some of the guys he's played with, sons and stuff like that. So all the GOATs kind of do it. And, you know, for you, Chris, obviously we're friends and I think you're great, but I've always said, even before, so like, I see you as the face of AEW for me because of you doing those kinds of things and always kind of elevating younger talent. And it's not always about Chris Jericho being champion or your shot. Like, you do so much to elevate so many other people. And I think that that's
really something that's unique in AEW with you for sure.
Well, thanks. And yeah, I think, you know, when we started AEW, I was definitely the face of the company because I had the biggest name value and had been working, you know, on worldwide television for so long, but I knew that that would only last for a window of time, that I had a few months to build as many guys as I could. And if you look, you know, from Hangman, Mox, you know, think about Mox when he came in AEW.
Yeah.
He was not John Mox. He was Dean Ambrose, just kind of coming in with a different name. He, you know, we worked together, and when I, you know, he beat me for the title, it's like he really started becoming this amazing, you know, character and wrestler that he is now. And Cody's another one. I mean, Cody wasn't on national TV. The last people had seen him was as Stardust, you know? So even guys like that, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, like we had to build those guys, even though they were big names elsewhere in the States, they really didn't have the same presence. So that was something that was my goal, you know, and then Santana and Ortiz and kind of reinventing Jake Hager into what he was and bringing in Sammy Guevara. Like we really working with Darby Allin in the third week of Dynamite, so people could see just what he could do. Like I'm just throwing names out there that I can remember, you know, and I think that was what the mission was to do. And in a very short time, we had, you know, 10, 12 name stars in the company that weren't quite as big of a name as they were when we first started. So that kind of really worked. And now we have a lot of faces of the company, which is what you have to have. I mean, it should never be built around one guy. It should be built around a dozen guys and girls. And I'm really happy with our roster. I think we've got a great team. If you're looking at AEW, like a football team, which, you know, is apropos since Tony also owns the Jags, it's that we've got the great veterans that have won Super Bowls, that have been there, Hall of Famers. We've got the guys in their prime that are just unbelievable stars in their own right. We've got a great roster of young kids that are still learning. And that's what you need to have a great team. And I think AEW is a great team for that reason.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think having such a deep roster really does help in having those big matches, because it's not only just relying on two or three people to carry the company or carry, you know, people wanting to come to the shows. People want to come to the shows to see so many different like personalities and different people in the ring. And I think that's such a cool thing that AEW does present. You mentioned Darby Allin as well, someone that you worked with early on, someone else who just worked with Darby, who I think was one of the best student mentor relationships that I've ever seen, was obviously Sting, who we just watched at have his retirement match at Revolution. Talk a little bit about Sting, obviously someone you've had a relationship with for a while, and you know, his retirement, because I thought it was kind of like the cherry on top. It was an amazing night.
Yeah. I mean, Sting is one of those guys that like when he came in, he's super humble. And like I said, like no one ever says anything bad about Sting ever.
Yeah.
And I think his retirement match, it's kind of one of those things where like, you could probably never duplicate that with his sons and just the match they had with Darby being out there in the box. And it was just, you know, Sting worked his ass off when he was in AEW. And I really respected that because he really didn't have to, you know, but he wasn't here just to collect a check and just to, you know, he was working hard and taking crazy bumps. And, you know, the match that we had, Sammy and I against him and Darby in Hamilton, Ontario, when he jumped off the ladder,
insane
the table and kind of slipped and hit his head. And it's like Sting can't continue, and he comes back in the ring, he's like, fucking right, some continue, what are you talking about? Like he never gave anything less than 1,000%. I think once again, it's almost like Kiss, like Paul and Gene, when you have the makeup, you don't think of him as being 64 or whatever, 65, whatever he is. He's just Sting. Like he did such a great job of evolving his character and still being relevant and still being cool. Like it's really a great story. And you know, it's sad to see him go, but nobody's career lasts forever, and nobody's career lasts until you're 65 and still working great matches. So he was really smart. If you look at him, he never had a singles match in AEW. He had a couple of the cinematic ones, but in AEW, he never wanted to have a single match. He always wanted to do the tags. And as much as he helped Darby, Darby helped him. And it was, like you mentioned, that's one of the greatest mentor, student, throw that out the one of the greatest tag teams, I think, ever of all time for that reason. So it was great to be a part of that. And once again, what an inspiration. And in a company where I'm kind of like the seasoned vet, when Sting came in, it's like, man, I was learning from him. It's like when we did our matches together, you know, you fall back on what Sting wants to do first, and then work from there. So he was great, and I'm glad that we got to do some matches together, because we had never been in the ring before, ever, with both the careers we had. We had never had that opportunity. So we had a couple really good matches and a couple really good moments, promos, bat wars. Like, it was really a lot of fun to be there with him.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this a little bit coming up on his retirement, but I became a Sting fan in this part of his career, which is crazy because he's been around for so long. So I took that as like a privilege in knowing him now and then looking back at other stuff, whereas some other people that followed him throughout his whole career. And same with you, honestly, Chris. Like, I only started watching you when I started getting into pro wrestling, 6 years ago now. So it's so funny when I talk about you or I'm interviewing you and people are like, oh my God, Jericho with this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I got to rewatch it, because it's like certain things where, like, being a fan now, I take it as a blessing when some people, you know, want to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, or, you know, it is what it is. I'm like, it's cool to look at it from a different perspective, right? So for me, Sting made me care about Darby, who to me is now taking the torch and running with it in AEW. And I care more about him now than I did before Sting was in the picture. So it's kind of a cool thing. And you're doing the same thing with a lot of these newer talents that are going to far exceed the next years. I mean, you, and like, listen, you've been in it 33 years, Chris. That's longer than I've been alive, which is crazy. But,
well,
you know,
I think just to kind of jump into what you're saying is that, I mean, once again, to reference Kiss, I mean, it's okay that you've been a fan for 6 years. That doesn't make you any less of a fan.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or someone that's been a fan for 50 years doesn't make them any more of a fan. They might have a little bit more perspective, but a fan is a fan. And if you enjoy the product and you get into it 6 years ago, that's amazing. There's people that are probably going to their very first wrestling show tonight.
Yeah.
You know, in Boston, and we want to make sure that they walk away going, I want to go again. Like, that's one good thing about having a long career, is it doesn't matter when you get on the elevator or when you get off the elevator, as long as you're enjoying the ride. And, you know, there's people who probably used to be Chris Jericho fans that aren't anymore. I appreciate them. There's probably people that have been Chris Jericho fans for 6 years. I appreciate them, or only for the WWE years, or only liked me in ECW, only like me now, or only like me in Japan. Like, that's all good. So I think that that's important, to always put on the best show that you can, because you never know when it's somebody's first time watching wrestling or somebody's last time watching wrestling. Either way, you want them to go away with a good feeling about our show and about my performance, or all of our performances.
Yeah. I mean, and even speaking of which, obviously we've been talking about the roster, someone that debuted last week that I came on and I was like, I'm excited about, but I don't really know the significance, is Okada. So, you know, talk about how important it is, how big of, listen, I knew the excitement. I knew he was a big deal coming in, but maybe talk about the significance of that and how excited you are. Are you going to want to work with him in AEW? You know,
I mean, obviously, absolutely. I worked with Okada once in New Japan and we had a great match. You know, and then that's the thing I like about him coming here, and Osprey.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, Mercedes, is that it's perception is reality in this business. And the fact that we've got, I mean, who else was out there that were big free agents? Will Ospreay, Kazuchika Okada, and Mercedes Moné, and they all ended up in AEW. I mean, that's, you know, right now we're on WrestleMania time, with WWE being as big as they are, you know, that's a really good kind of thumbs up for AEW, where it's like, yeah, sure, WWE's having, you know, a huge time right now, but don't forget about the fact that we got three of the hottest, probably the hottest free agents in the world in our company. I mean, that's a big deal. So I think Okada is a superstar. I mean, he already is, but a superstar to be here in the States. I mean, he has got such a look. He is such a great wrestler. Obviously, he's headlined many Tokyo Domes and many New Japan shows, already a legend in that country. I can't only imagine what he's going to do in this country. And same with Will Ospreay. as well, just to think about all the great matches that he's had. I mean, this guy is basically, you know, if you believe in what a five-star match is or four-star match, he doesn't have anything but those types of matches. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see him do more here in AEW as well. So I think they made the right choice, all three of them in the company they came to for what they want to accomplish. And it's exciting for me and it's exciting for AEW. So I can't wait to work with Ospreay again. I mean, I worked with him in Wembley earlier last year and I worked with Okada once before as well in Osaka. So I can't wait to lock horns with them again in AEW.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. And I know Ospreay just in an interview was talking about how he did decide to go to AEW, and it was, you know, it wasn't only the roster and his excitement for it, but just dealing with Tony and the schedule and that kind of stuff. He said it was like a night and day decision. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, it was what was right for him and what he felt best doing. And I think that's kind of an amazing thing as a pro wrestler, now that there are these options, especially for someone like an Ospreay, to feel so like privileged and happy to make your decision and feel comfortable with it, because he wants to stay in the UK. He wants to live there, and have, you know, an owner of a company be so lenient with him and really talk him through it so that he felt the best about his decision is just an amazing thing in this world. Obviously you mentioned Mercedes. You know, I've been saying, especially with the addition of like Deonna Purrazzo, what Toni Storm is doing right now, I think the women's division is only getting stronger in AEW and it's getting more exciting to watch for sure. You got the return of Britt Baker on the horizon, Jamie Hayter, you know, Thunder Rosa, all these women. And now you're going to throw hopefully a Mercedes Moné into the mix. Kind of talk about that a little bit. Obviously she is probably the hottest free agent that was, and she stands for so much more than just pro wrestling, in my opinion. So like kind of talk about the addition of someone like that to AEW and like how much you think it's going to affect that women's, not only the women's roster, because I think it's going to affect the whole company.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you talk about her, you know, and I know we're airing this on Friday, we're talking Wednesday. So we're assuming that she showed up. So let's just have that caveat.
I hope if we don't, it's not going to be that great.
but she's more than just a star, like, you know, in the women's division, she's a star overall. She's got that star quality to where, you know, I don't even remember as Sasha Banks anymore. It's Mercedes Moné, which is a much cooler name to me anyways.
Yeah.
And I think when she's, once again, like I said earlier, when she shows up on an AEW show, it's like, oh my gosh, she's here too. Like everybody's coming to AEW.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a very talented women's roster, but it's always good when you can bring in somebody of that level of stardom with that type of experience and star power. Cause you mentioned Deonna and Tony, you know, Britt will be coming back soon, I'm assuming, you know, Chris Statlander and, you know, all these types of girls. Anna Jay is coming to her own, Sky Blue, Julia Hart. I mean, that roster, Riho, every time I see Riho, she's amazing. And you know, there's a lot of great girls, women in the company. So when you see Mercedes come in, you know, the matches are going to get more interesting. The matchups that you can put on pay-per-view and on Dynamite are going to get even bigger. And once again, the star power that she has, just takes things to a different level. And I'll say something else too. I know from experience, it's good when you show up in a new company. It really is. That's one of the best things about having AEW and WWE being so strong, even New Japan. You know, when you see Nick Nemeth show up in New Japan or Jack Perry show up in New Japan, it reinvigorates your career. And it gives you a whole new fresh coat of paint, shall we say. So it makes you a bigger star when you go from one company to another. I really believe that. And it shakes things up. It's exciting for the fans. It's exciting for the roster. And it's exciting for you as a talent. So I think she's going to be reinvigorated when she comes to AEW. We do it things completely differently here, which in some ways is good. In some ways is not as good, but mostly it's good. And there's a system in WWE that works. Our system is completely different. And when people come here, it's almost like, oh my gosh, really? Like I can do that, or I don't have to do this. And that's exciting as well. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what she does here in AEW.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just going to be, I think one of the most exciting things that happened for the women too, is like the return of Soraya. I remember I was there when that happened.
Soraya as well, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And that was like electric because of who she was. And now, you know, that was someone who was told she was never going to wrestle again. And now she's actively doing so much. And I'm a big fan of hers. So I think even with Mercedes, it's going to be even bigger. I mean, she tweeted today, Boston with Boss in it. So yeah. I'm really hoping we see other guys, you know?
I would say that we're going to see her, but, and then that's the thing. I mean, look at, you mentioned Saraya and look at like Ruby Soho, like,
yes,
they're completely different people. Like I mentioned Moss earlier, how he changed. I mean, Ruby was never this type of a performer in WWE. So, you know, once again, you come in and you kind of find out what your new strategy is going to be. And then you put everything into it and it's exciting. So yeah, I mean, having her here a lot, I mean, look, it was Ospreay, boom. Then the next week it's Okada, boom. Then the next week is a Mercedes, boom. I mean, it doesn't get any more exciting than that for all of us here and for all the fans.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, and listen, things change in pro wrestling. This is something I've learned. Literally every single week, someone's either being released or picked up or things can happen. And now what is the beauty of that? They have an option of somewhere else to even go to, as opposed to just one. It's just a good time for pro wrestling. You know, and she did mention like, she's never shutting the door to WWE. She has such a big future. You know, is that the same for you? Do you shut the door on that company and you're just like, I'm good. I'm happy. I want to, you know, like when you think about retirement or anything, is it going to be with AEW? Like, are you sure, or have you not even thought about that yet?
I don't really think about that sort of thing, because I just kind of just live in the now, you know. Yeah. Like we talk about being, you know, 33 years in wrestling, I'm like, wow, really? It doesn't feel that way, because I can still have the best match on any given show, not every night, but you know, a couple of weeks ago I wrestled Takeshita on Dynamite. It was the best match on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, you look through like, okay, so there's still great moments for Jericho and a lot that I can do, but I don't shut the door on anything. But I don't really, to me, like WWE isn't the be all end all. Like it was great to be there. I had a great 20 years there. But I've had a great going on 5 years here in AEW. I love working here. Like I love working with Tony Khan, you know, and WWE is a completely different animal now than it was when I left in 2017. Gosh, think about that. 2017, maybe. I think my last match was Saudi Arabia early in 2018. So you're going on 6 years now. I mean, think about that, right?
Like, that's crazy.
It's been six fucking years. So it's like, it's not something that I've really thought about. I like watching, not even watching, I like reading about what's going on and seeing, you know, the buzz that they have. Mm-hmm. But I also like my company. I mean, I helped start AEW, and I don't really see any reason why I'd want to leave at this point. So never say that I wouldn't go, but I have zero plans of that. I like it here, and I like the people that I work with, and I enjoy coming to work every week, which was not always the case in WWE. And it's weird how it is the case here, but it's just a different vibe. And I really have a lot of fun here in AEW.
Yeah. And it's crazy too. There is the crossover. Obviously, you know, we've seen it with Jade Cargill and a much bigger sense with Cody and everything that's going on with like Cody right now. What are your thoughts a little bit on that? Cause I have to ask, cause
yeah, sure.
You know, with The Rock returning, obviously someone else that you know pretty well, and everything with Cody, like, what are your thoughts on that going on and his return for WrestleMania, you know, with these Cody crybabies and kind of all this stuff and kind of what Cody has done in his time since being with AEW to now WWE.
I'm a big fan of Cody. I always have been. I remember, gosh, probably 10 years ago, we did a tour of Japan. I called him and took him out for Korean barbecue, you know, like the young boy and the Kohai Senpai type thing. Mm-hmm. Always loved working with Cody, being around him, wrestling with him. I think we only had one match in AEW, but it was an awesome match. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was shocked when he left, but I understand the reason why. You know, I've been WWE champion, you know, six times.
Right.
And I understand Cody's drive to be the WWE champion and why he would want to do that. And obviously he's done so great. He's probably a far bigger star there than he was in AEW. And he was one of our top guys in AEW. There's just something that clicked for him there. And he's a very motivated guy and obviously has the lineage of Dusty to live up to. And he took a chance. And once again, like I just said earlier, going to another company makes you a bigger star.
Yeah.
And it certainly worked for him, shall we say. I mean, he became a huge star in WWE and you know, a future world champion for sure. So I'm very proud of him. He took a chance. Like I said, it was sad to see him go, but I understand why he left, and I'm happy that he's doing so well now.
Do you think with The Rock coming back and that whole thing happening, like what do you think about The Rock being back and kind of ruining plans and then going full heel, you know, Rocky right now, because it was kind of pushed by the fans that they loved Cody so much that right. They had to turn The Rock heel because they didn't want to see Rock, you know, be champion. They want Cody to be champion. Isn't that kind of an insane thing that fans are so invested in something that you feel like you can write the narrative?
But once again, like, keep this in mind. We haven't seen Rock.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years, he makes a sporadic appearance here and there, but you know, the same thing happened with Daniel Bryan a few years ago, where they didn't want, I think it was Batista or whatever. They didn't want that. They made their decision, you know, that Daniel Bryan was their guy, and they're going to stick to it. And so, you know, they built Cody's story so well that when it kind of gets pushed aside for The Rock, who a lot of people hadn't seen in 10 years, they're like, who the fuck is this guy coming back? The actor guy? Like, what? We want this guy.
Right.
And Rock is so smart. Obviously he did the right thing and turned heel. And, you know, I don't think this is a one and done for Rock either. I think that he's enjoying being back in wrestling. He's always had that bug. Obviously he grew up in the business. People forget how great of a pro wrestler he is. Not just on the mic, but actually in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ring shape is different from other shape, but I mean, look at him. I mean, you think he's going to take it lightly being in the ring? I'm sure he's having practice matches and all that sort of stuff. So he's going to come back and be The Rock. And you know, anybody that doesn't understand how huge it is to have him on the show in any capacity doesn't really understand business, because, you know, The Rock means money. And the point of wrestling is to make money.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome that he's back and looking forward to seeing what they do at WrestleMania and beyond.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you are like looking forward to it, because you are at the end of the day still someone who appreciates the business so much and you know it so well.
As
opposed to being like, screw that. Yeah, you're a fan. Like I love that. I think that goes beyond what some people realize sometimes, that you've been in it so long. You love this business. You love pro wrestling. So you're not gonna ever wish ill on other people or other companies. And I think that gets lost on fans sometimes, that they live in this rivalry. And it's like, you can enjoy everything at the end of the day. And you can like the people you like and hate the people you hate. And at the end of the day, they probably want you to hate them. So they're winning in the sense of it anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's such a cool thing.
It's your choice, you know, and there's so many people that just hate everything AEW, or just hate the fact that Chris Jericho exists, or hate WWE. And it's like, I don't understand that type of a vibe, because listen, man, like I like the Beatles and I like the Stones and I like Iron Maiden and I like Metallica. And, you know, it's like, I don't have to choose one or the other, because I just like them both. Or, you know, I like a million different bands.
Yeah.
You know? So it's the same with wrestling. I love the fact that AEW is doing great. I love the fact WWE is doing great. I love the fact that New Japan is doing great. Congrats to TNA for always doing business and putting on shows, and MLW and, like, you know, CMLL and AAA. And it just means more places for guys to work, you know, and more places for fans to see great wrestling. I mean, my goodness, there is so much great wrestling now. You know, before, I remember, like, once again, whatever a 4-star match is, I remember before, to get a 4-star match was a pretty rare thing.
Yeah.
Now it's like, fucking hell, man. There's just like a 4-star match every match. Like, it's just crazy how good the quality of the athletes are. But once again, wrestling is still always about storylines and characters. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm still a big fan of the business, is for that. I mean, a good match is a good match, but a great character and a great story, that takes precedent over everything.
I love that you said like character and story, because that's what draws me into who I like and who I don't like. Because I don't know, you know, the moves or like what the in-ring stuff is. I'm like either emotionally messing somebody or I'm not. And I think that's another thing that just adds into it, is like, you sometimes have these managers of people that are just make you care. Obviously someone who's being, which I was going to bring up to you too, inducted in the Hall of Fame is Paul Heyman. Someone you also know kind of well, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, he's unreal in like the way he's on the mic and what he's doing with Roman and stuff right now.
And not just in the ring, but behind the scenes too. I mean, Paul is just one of those guys. He gets it. He's a genius, but he also knows how to play the game. He knows how to play the wrestling business game. And that's the first ballot Hall of Famer for me. We talk about, I just did a podcast on the Jericho Cruise with Bubba and Devon and Jerry Lynn and Missy Hyatt. The Paul Heyman stories are legendary. You know, he's just a character's character for sure. I'm talking outside the ring.
Yeah.
And in the ring too, like once again, he knows exactly what to do to tell the story. He knows exactly what to do to build his guys. Whoever he attaches himself to becomes a better performer and a bigger star. He's just one of those guys. He'll be in the he's very smart. You know, he'll be in the business until he's 80 years old if he chooses to be. And he started when he was freaking 15. So
insane.
Definitely no brainer for Hall of Fame. And like I said, one of my favorite characters I've ever met in the wrestling business. One of my favorite moments is, and you can ask Bubba this, me and a friend of mine, Jack Slade, whose dad was Chris Slade, who's the drummer of AC/DC. We went to Madison Square Garden to see AC/DC. And for some reason, Paul Heyman tagged along in his suit. So we watched Axl Rose sing for AC/DC in Madison Square Garden with Paul Heyman in a suit. And it wasn't a schoolboy suit like Angus. It was his business suit. It's just like the most weirdest connection of guys. And Bully Ray happened to be in the same row as us. So it was me, Bubba, Paul Heyman, and Jack Slade watching AC/DC, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Bully Ray, by the way. One of my best friends, even though he doesn't want to say it. Mm-hmm. One of my guys who, by the way, because of Bully Ray, I know about these bands that you're talking about because he had to make me know about all these. Otherwise, before I started pro wrestling, I didn't even realize, you know, the crossover between music and pro wrestling, which all of you guys talk about all the time, which I love. And maybe on the next Jericho Cruise, if I get the invite to Jericho Cruise, which looked like a lot of fun and I've been wanting to go, maybe next year because it's only getting bigger.
It is. Yeah. This last year was probably our best one. We had a blast. It was one of those things where year one was a money loser, which is fine. You're building a business. Year two was a big hit. And then pandemic came and things kind of got out of whack, and then kind of rebuilding it 3 and 4 and 5, we sold out again. So now we're back to where we need to be. And we had a great time. And like I said, you know, you're definitely in the running to come on the next
one.
In the running.
We'll see.
But seriously, it is a lot of fun. And once again, that's something that I take great pride in building this experience for fans, something completely unique and different that no one's ever done before. And that's kind of what I love to do as Chris Jericho in every project that I take on.
Yeah. I mean, you come out to the ring and everyone's singing your song. It's kind of like not everyone has that, you know what I mean? Not everyone has that effect in both the music industry as well as pro wrestling. So what you do is so cool, I think. And I know you guys go on tour and you with your band, and it's kind of cool to see you living out these kinds of things because it makes you such a unique personality in the business, and it opens the doors for other people to do these kinds of things and to know that the option is available if they're in these other outlets, which I think you might not. I mean, you probably do realize, but I realize it more watching when you have the people coming out with raps, you have these people coming out with music now and dipping into other industries. Yeah. Like, you've kind of set the pace in that and what you do, and it's really cool to see.
Well, once again, you know, if you have talents, you know, when I first started all of these different things, there was a little bit of resistance because you're a wrestler, you know, that's it. And I never saw myself as a wrestler. I saw myself as an entertainer.
Right.
And so I had no problems building Fozzy or then, you know, writing books or doing a podcast or starting a cruise or acting or whatever it is, all these different things that I've done, hosting shows. Like, why not? If you can do it, like, I had everyone telling me I'll never make it in wrestling. And then I did. And then had people say, you'll never make it with Fozzy. And then we did. So it's like, now you're dangerous because, you know, I'll try anything. You know what I mean? If I, if I really think I can make it work, then there's no limits as to what I can do or what I want to do. I'll at least give it a try. And I think, like you said, that does rub off on a lot of people to know, like, geez, I can, like, look at Swerve. I mean, Swerve came on the cruise and did a rap performance and tore it down. He was, and then he wrestled a match. Like, why not? You know what I mean? If you have the talents to do those things, then go do it. I was talking to Rob Zombie about this years ago when he first started directing. And then he's like, people were like, well, you're a musician. How can you possibly be a director? And it's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That's because crazy.
If you have the talent to do it, you go do it. And that to me is something that I think everybody should give it a shot. If you feel like you're good at it and you want to try it, then go try it. And you can usually make it work.
Swerve is another person, by the way, talk about taking, you know, being released from one company and really making a name for yourself somewhere else. Like, he is absolutely crushing it right now. Huge. And he's another one, like, amazing.
I'm a huge fan of Swerve. I think, you know, eventually he'll be our world champion. I mean, it's just a matter of time at this point. And he's got the cool factor. Mm-hmm. He's new. He's fresh. He can talk. He looks great. I mean, he's a guy that could be a crossover super duper star, which is, I think, exactly what AEW needs to go to the next level. Someone like Swerve or someone like Will Ospreay that people don't really know, that have the look, they have the uniqueness, they have the charisma. And once again, I'm not just talking about inside the ring. I'm talking about outside the ring, because that's what wrestling is. Once again, you know, you become a mainstream star and you build the company. And that's, you know, look at all the guys that have done multiple things and get out of the wrestling bubble into the mainstream world. That just makes your company stronger. It makes you a bigger star and makes your company bigger.
Yeah. And not to mention Prince Nana dancing has now become.
I mean, who would have guessed that, right? Yeah.
I love it so much. Speak about managers, like, really taking over, like, he makes me laugh. And that's, like, what I love about AEW. There's so many comedic things that happen. Daniel Garcia getting over with his dance as well, where he had Tony Khan do it that one time, like, after the show. Like, it's little things like that for me, as someone, you know, maybe younger, fresher fan, that's the stuff I remember. And that's the stuff I cling onto when I watch these people.
But you're so right. And that's the thing, like, where people are like, oh, Danny Garcia, once he got away from Jericho, he really started to blossom. But it's like, that's where he kind of learned and got that confidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he first came into the Jericho Appreciation Society, I had those guys come in because the storyline worked. I didn't know anything about any of them, to be honest with you. Parker, Menard, and Cool Hand Ange, like, I just, you know, Daddy Magic, like,
yeah,
you know, there was no Daddy Magic prior. It was Matt Menard. There was no Cool Hand Ange. It was Jeff Parker. The first thing I said was, you guys got to change your names,
right?
Danny Garcia, you need to. I said to them, if you were going to, I said, who's your favorite musical artist? And they said, whoever it was. I said, if you were going to an exclusive party hosted by this artist, it's on the top of a penthouse, there's going to be Playboy models there, there's going to be influencers and celebrities, what would you wear? And I don't care what that is. What would you wear to go to this top level party? Because whatever that is, that's what I want you to wear next week on TV. And they all showed up with their various outfits. And right away, they're different guys.
Yeah.
You know, Danny's a sports entertainer. When he said that he got heat, well, then he started, I'll try dancing. It's like, dude, you need to entertain. Once again, great matches are important, but characters, everything. The dance put him to a completely different level. That wasn't crazy. there before he was in the Appreciation Society. So all of those things work to help build your persona. And that's, like I said, that's something that I'm very proud of Danny for, what he's able to do, because he's not the same performer he was 2 years ago when he first came into the JAS.
Guys, we have a problem. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You could go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at legacysubs.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep, which is why the Ultimate Test Stack features their best-selling sleep aid recovery PM. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist inhibits estrogen, and recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the Ultimate Test Stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews on Top Rated. Legacy Sports Nutrition is founded by 3-time world champion and SmackDown general manager, Mr. Nick Aldis, and 11-time women's champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickey James. And they personally use these products themselves. If you need more assurance, they're NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the USA in an FDA-inspected facility. And because you listen to this show, You can save 10% off your order at LegacySubs.com now by using Gabby at checkout. That's G-A-B-B-Y. That's LegacySubs.com. LegacySubs.com. It's time to level up with Legacy.
So yeah, it's so interesting you even mentioned a Christian Cage as well, because Christian Cage was someone, in my opinion, that was also another person that is making me care about other people as he's made me care about Daniel Garcia. So it's just funny, the more we talk about the roster in AEW, the more these people just keep, you know, coming out of the Edric. Obviously, Adam Copeland is another person that has joined who I absolutely love. And, you know, his rivalry with now Christian Cage is something that I don't ever want to see end to a degree. I know it's kind of, you know, how it is right now, and Christian has to go up against a lot of other people, but he's also someone you've worked with before, AKA Edge, but Adam Copeland. You know, these people are coming in here and they're making different names for themselves than they were somewhere else. And I think that's just a really cool thing to see.
Once again, you know, I've said it multiple times during this interview, is that changing companies reinvigorates you.
Yeah.
I know in Adam's case, you know, he probably felt the same way in WWE that I did, that you're just kind of spinning your wheels. And if, when you feel that way, it's time to make some moves, you know, and Christian felt the same. So they wouldn't be doing the work they're doing here if they were still in WWE, nor would I
right.
wouldn't be doing the work I'm doing here if I was still in WWE. So once again, you got to take a chance. It's like I always say, like, you're standing on top of a skyscraper. And if I tell you, okay, you can fly, all you got to do is just take a step off this building. And you're like, no, it's terrifying, I don't want to do it. But when you do it, you fly. And all you had to do is take that one terrifying step, that step into the unknown. And then, you know, you realize, well, I really made the right decision. So I think both those guys feel that way. And it's just benefiting. Like, look at the guys they're working with, Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne and, you know, all the guys that they've been in contact with. Jack Perry, once again, it's all helped those guys become bigger stars as well.
Yeah. And listen, I appreciate your time. You gave me so much time. I know we have to wrap soon, but just, I always end asking my guests a little bit of, like, you know, 2024 has just started, even though we're already in March, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want to see for yourself this year? Any, like, what do you expect? Is there anything, like, goals you've set? Obviously you've kind of done it all. You've done a lot. So, but what can we expect from you this year?
I think, you know, my answer is usually pretty much the same, just to continue to provide the best stories and matches for the fans that I can, the best diversions, whether it's the Jericho Cruise or Fozzy concerts or new songs. You know, I just want to continue to entertain people. And that's my number one goal. And it has been since I was 19 years old. So that's my goal for 2024, is just continue to work my ass off to make sure that anybody who buys a ticket to see anything that I do or anything that I've involved in get their money's worth.
Yeah. Well, I love that you're doing a very good job of it, obviously, because to me, you are still the face of AEW. I don't care what anybody says. And you will always be. I've been with AEW when I started becoming a fan, which is crazy. I started watching it from the beginning. Yeah. So it's one of those things for me that, you know, it's a little near and dear to my heart, because I'm still playing catch up with so many other places.
Sure.
But yeah, and thank you again. You know, I've said it, I say it all the time. I am always annoying and I text you like, thank you, when you give me advice and kind of motivation and stuff. But you really are someone who cares so much, and you are such a good person, and you are very, very helpful when you don't have to be. And you've always been a good support for me. So I really do appreciate you in giving me confidence to, you know, do my own show and always kind of just being as positive as you are. So it's kind of, you do it on screen, but I want everyone to know you do it, you know, off screen as well. And that's just the kind of person you are. So I do appreciate you, and I appreciate the time that you gave me today.
You're doing a great job, and I'm proud of you for starting this up. I knew you'd be great at it, and you are. And I look forward to coming back anytime with less technical difficulties on my end, because I'm not very technical.
No, I'm not either. So we're like two, you know, people sitting over here. This might not even air, which will be hilarious.
Never
we just
know.
Had a good conversation though. So
yeah, nothing else. We can keep it and watch it back in a year or so.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Krish. I appreciate you. And to everyone listening, as always, LYMNB. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Thanks, Gabby. Bye,
thank
guys.
Thank you. It's nothing less, because you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF.